supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
If you're having issues coping with this first heat wave of the season, it's worse. Much worse for residents of Kelt 9. Let's take a trip with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, where are we going? How hot is it?
So we're heading out to a planet that's about 620 light years from Earth. It's orbiting a blue A-type star. Kelt 9 has the interesting distinction that it's hotter than many types of stars, a surface temperature of nearly 8,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Still a planet.
Still a planet, because it is a satellite orbiting the main star, which is this blue A-type. So that means that it really is just boiling away due to the energy that's coming from the star itself.
Literally boiling away? Like, how much more life does it have?
Well, the star itself is about 300 million years old. The planetary system would be about the same. But the planetary system itself, in this particular case, this planet, doesn't really have much to go on at all. It's a gas giant, very much like our Jupiter, but it's rather different in size and structure for a gas giant like ours. It's 2.5 times the mass of our giant Jupiter. And this is a planet that really can't survive all of the intense ultraviolet radiation that's coming from the sun. It means that heavy molecules like water or carbon monoxide or even methane can't really form at this location. So there's no possibility of life here at all. Just another example of the variation of the kinds of exoplanets we can find orbiting other stars.
I suppose we can go to the other extreme and find planets so far away from their sun that they're close to absolute zero.
I really love the contrast of this. We talked a little while ago about a system called TRAPPIST, TRAPPIST-1. And as it turns out, there is a planet at TRAPPIST-1 that's far enough away from its really too cool star, 6 million miles away, that its surface temperature is minus 148 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, you might say that 6 million miles, that's really close to the star. So wouldn't that planet be really hot too? But the fact of the matter is that the temperature of the star itself is so low that the planet itself doesn't really have much to go on.
Let's come home and survey the planets in our solar system. What's available to be seen in the night sky this week?
Well, I think we're in a really great position because, as it turns out, Saturn, the planet with the beautiful rings, has what I call the swing shift. In that, if we start out the evening with sunset, we find that Jupiter is very high and easy to see. Saturn itself doesn't come up until about 10 p.m., but at that point, Jupiter is over on the western side of the sky, and then just a few hours later, 4:30 a.m., we find that Saturn is in the west, and Venus is in the east. So what this does is it puts Saturn sort of halfway between Jupiter on the western side just after sunset and Venus over on the eastern side just before sunrise. So hence the idea of the swing shift. And my question for our listeners is, did anybody take a notice of the full moon last week? The full moon we saw last week placed the moon at its greatest distance from Earth in its orbit around the Earth for the entire year. Now, it's not that it doesn't have these distant points every month, but this particular distant point is the greatest distant point of all through the year. So that would make the moon appear to be the smallest it could possibly be. But I wonder if anybody actually noticed how small it was. And I don't think so, because the difference in size actually is way too small to notice. So you'd be hard-pressed to actually figure it out. I say it was at its mini-moom. Get it?
Is there a maximum?
Yes, there is. There are supermoons that happen during the course of the year. In fact, we talk about them as being these instances in which the close approach of the moon makes it appear much larger in the sky. But you'd be hard-pressed to even measure that as well, because you can always make the moon look big if you observe the full moon as it rises on the eastern horizon. The trick of the brain that is played on us as we view the moon when we see it near objects of known size makes it appear as if it's unusually large. But in both instances, mini moon or maxi moon, if you were to measure the size of the moon as it rises and then compare it again when the moon is overhead, you'd find that they seem to be exactly the same size.
Merely an optical illumption.
Yes, as bad as the pun was, I'm afraid you're right.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on NewsWorks Tonight.